Reading this morning from Canto 10, excuse me, Chapter 10, Canto 1. The title is Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. And Chapter 10 follows Chapter 9. And Chapter 9 is about what? Chapter 9.
Passing
the Bhishma day? And when does the passing of Bhishma day take place?
On Sankranti.
But chronologically with the whole of the rest of the history here, the storyline. After the battle of Kurukshetra is over, and going back over the chapters before chapter 9 was chapter 8, and Krishna is already leaving. Two chapters ago he was trying to leave and it didn't happen yet. So Uttara, then Kunti, then Yudhisthira, and while he was with Yudhisthira, three Ashvamedha Yajnas were performed. Still, Yudhisthira was powerfully lamenting. So then Bhishma Dev pacified, Bhishma Dev instructed him, Bhishma Dev left. Now Yudhisthira duly instructed, he's the king, the funerals of everyone have been performed, he's now on the throne, ruling. Chapter 10, text number 1. Shaunaka Muni asked basically what happened next. After killing his enemies who desired to usurp his rightful inheritance, how did the greatest of all religious men, Maharaj Yudhisthira, assisted by his brothers, rule his subjects? Surely he could not freely enjoy his kingdom with unrestricted consciousness. So, how was it that Yudhisthira was to rightfully inherit the throne? This is a cultural point. The cultural point is that Vedic law is that the eldest son would inherit the property of the father. In this case, the king, his eldest son, would inherit the kingdom. Primal progenitor, Prabhupada calls it. But Maharaj Yudhisthira is such a religious person, he's not concerned about that. Although, it's a religious principle. It's a religious principle that seems to bring something to him. And he's not interested in getting something for himself. Especially when it means that other principles, like the killing of relatives and his teacher and grandfather, were at stake, same as Arjuna. But he fought on religious principle. And Krishna wanted it. So the cause was not selfish, the cause was religious. And Krishna was fully supporting it. So in that sense, that's given the nature of Yudhisthira Maharaj. then he can act. The other side of Maharaj Yudhisthira is how many people were killed, even after being pacified by Bhishma Dev. So he was situated in knowledge, but still his the feeling was there. He could unrestrictedly enjoy the kingdom, and that's what Shaunaka's inquiring. What happened next? Because here's this perfectly virtuous person who did what he did because of the religious principle, but felt something on the other side because his cousins and so forth, teachers, innocent people, okay, Ashwamedha Yagya, and okay, it's Krishna's will, but still. So his ruling was duty. It's something Krishna wants. Grandfather Bhishma Devas confirmed. So, Shaunaka, he's already understood these things. He now wants to see, to hear, how did it play out? How did Maharaj Yudhisthira do this? What was it like? Sutta answers. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of the world, became pleased after re-establishing Maharaj Yudhisthira in his own kingdom and after restoring the Kuru dynasty, which had been exhausted by the bamboo fire of anger. Prabhupada, as usual, likes to talk about bamboo fires because it's a good example. I've had my experience of bamboo forests in Mayapur. On the Mayapur, the Navadvipa Parikrama, a few times I went just walking the whole time. There's a place near Vidyanagar where there's a whole big bamboo forest. And I like to go by there because when I would go by the bamboo forest, I would think of Prabhupada. Giving this example. And it's the example works. You can hear the wind blow. And as the wind blows sailing through the bamboo forest, you could hear the whistling of the wind. And then you could hear the bamboo like a really sharp sound smacking another bamboo. So what happens when one bamboo smacks another bamboo? There's friction. And sometimes when there's friction, there's sparks. And that spark falls on the dry leaves in the ground, there's fire. So what starts the fire? Just a bunch of bamboos hanging out in the forest. No apparent cause. Almost the wind. But similarly, Prabhupada explains that in this world, people don't, well, ordinarily go start fires. Fires start of their own accord. And the comparison is that the nature of this world. There is difficulty, there is hardship, there is harassment, there is fire, there is war in this world. Even there's no apparent cause. So, what's Krishna's role in this? The wars, the conflicts between people. He's neutral. He doesn't rub his hands together in a big seat in the sky and say something like that. He's neutral. But he's neutral. He doesn't cause the war. In fact, if anything, he's inviting persons to leave behind this. The very nature of this material world. The message is, it's not a fit place to be. Leave it. So he's sending signals, sending messengers. Faxes, emails, cell phone calls, everything. Please come. All forms of communication, please come. The Lord wants the suffering human beings to come back home, back to Him, and cease to suffer the threefold material pangs. The whole plan of creation is made in that way. But one who does not come to his senses suffers in the material world by the pangs inflicted by the illusory energy of the Lord. So this is the bamboo fire of anger idea. What did Krishna want? What, if there was anything that he had a role to play in this? What he wanted is in this bamboo forest of anger. He wanted that the virtuous Maharaj Yudhisthira be established. He came at the request of Mother Earth to reestablish principles of Dharma. Yes, he spoke Bhagavad Gita, but who's going to uphold him? So Maharaj Yudhisthira was to uphold it. This is his wish, that the rule of the world would be in the hands of his devotee. So to do that, the unwanted persons had to be removed. So they were removed. Maharaj Yudhisthira is installed. The Lord is happy. That's what the verse is saying. Moreover, the successor to the throne, Prabhupada writes, the seedling of the Kuru dynasty, like, you know, there's this terrible conflagration and everything is wiped out and there's one little sapling remaining in the forest. And from that one sapling, some of the other trees will come. Krishna was pleased. Yudhisthira's on the throne. Maharaj Pariksit will succeed him. But Krishna is very satisfied. That's the beginning of his explanation of how did Maharaj Yudhisthira rule. Krishna was pleased. Then Maharaj Yudhisthira, after being enlightened by what was spoken by Bhishma Dev, and Lord Sri Krishna, the infallible, engaged himself in matters of perfect knowledge because all his misgivings were eradicated. He ruled over the earth and seas and was followed by his younger brothers. His misgivings in the sense that all of this suffering happened because of me, all that was gone. But still, even those other feelings. So many persons were hurt, were killed. And they're feeling loss, and they're feeling perhaps enmity towards myself and my brothers. Prabhupada describes in the purport that the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira was so glorious, it was like a heavenly planet ruled by a demigod, because the realms of the various demigods, they have their own place, in some cases their own planet. And they're the ruler of the planet. And Maharaj Yudhisthira was like that. He's the ruler of the planet. So he was likened to Indra. Very powerful and very respected and very opulent kingdom. Very virtuous, like a heavenly planet. And as he ruled, he was guided by the instructions of Bhishma Dev. Wonderful. Shaunika asked, what was it like? The answer is, it was wonderful. Then Prabhupada chooses to go the other direction and say, in modern circumstances, that's not possible. Starting with the very system of government. The very system of government is some elected person. So the elected person has no kingly power. Rather, he's a puppet of the voters. And the voters pull some string and he moves. And they pull another string and he moves. And because that's the system of government. To find a system of government, an ideological system that works for all people in all circumstances, provided you have a qualified individual to fill that post, it's not going to come about by worldly people. Ordinary people cannot create a system nor rule a proper system. Everything will be selfishly motivated, both the person in power and in the ideology by which that person executes their duties. He's saying the conception of one world state, we're a little bit ahead of his time, because that kind of ideology is more prevalent today. But it's not going to satisfy all people, nor would even be able to be executed by some man-made ideology. An imperfect human being cannot create an ideology acceptable to everyone. Only the perfect and the infallible can create a program which is applicable at every place and can be followed by all the world. So, there's a dichotomy or a paradox in all of this. The king has autonomy. He has kingly power. He's not dependent upon the voters and all of that business. He has power and authority. On the other hand, he has no dependence. The conception of one world state can only be fulfilled if we can follow the infallible authority. Full autocratic power, no independent authority. Seems contradictory. But that's where the king is fully qualified as a devotee. So the ultimate independent authority is the Supreme, and the king derives his authority from the Supreme. A very nice example of this when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting in the area where Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami were ruling as the prime minister and finance minister of under the rule of Nawab Hussein Shah. Nawab Hussein Shah came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his kingdom. And he knew that Sanatana Goswami was a saintly person. So he asked Sanatana Goswami, who is this sannyasi? Wherever he goes, there's crowds and crowds and crowds of people. Tell me about him. Sanatana Goswami's reply was, you're the king. You're the representative of God. Show me all these things. And what would be appropriate is known by you also. So, you know, those are nice words, but is it true? The king of today, or any leader of today, is actually tuned into the God channel and takes their direction from him? Hardly. They may have some, they may think that they are, or may have some sincere efforts to try to act that way. Some may do like that, but Prabhupada is pointing to where there's proper government. There's proper government when you have a king, a ruler like Maharaj Yudhisthira. In general, Prabhupada didn't like democracy, the very nature of it. But other times, less frequently, he would say it doesn't matter what the system of government is, if you have a qualified leader. And if you don't have a qualified leader, it doesn't matter what the system of government is. But more predominantly, Prabhupada would say the very system of government leads to disqualified persons. There isn't a thought of how to train and qualify persons in the proper way and establish them where they have autonomy. Autocratic power, full autocratic power to rule the world, but very qualified and trained. Otherwise, Prabhupada didn't have very nice things to say about any other type of government. Full paradise, he says here. People are foolish, and so who are they going to elect? Another fool. The government of a fool's paradise. No one will be satisfied. So then he goes back to the conception of one world state can take shape only under the regime of a perfect king like Maharaj Yudhisthira. The world was happy in those days because there were kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira to rule the world. So that saying is their power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. People like that saying. Because they don't like being under a bad ruler. And in fact, democracy came about because of persons that weren't qualified, Kali Yuga folks that were in the role of king, and hey, unrestricted power. And they were very abusive. And people understood it. And while they may have wanted to respect the position, they were very unhappy, and so they changed the situation, changed the governance structure. It's a long history. Ramendra Saruprabhu did his PhD on this and speaks about it regularly. But it starts even before the change of government comes the status of knowledge of the Brahmanas. As they became corrupt, the government system changed. It starts with corruption of the Brahmins. And therefore the Brahminical culture being restored, supported, established and supported becomes a very important part of having proper social fabric. Those who are ruling whatever, or leading in whatever the groups of people are, can't have proper leadership if you don't have qualified Brahmins. And the Brahmins used to train those leaders. And so on. So through the instrument of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is trying to effect some change, make a difference in the deteriorated condition of the age of Kali. Any discussion?
Guru Maharaj, it seems to me that all the living entities have desires, and right now in this present age, the desire seems to be wealth, opulence, fame. And if all the living entities, most of the living entities have that, Krishna as a loving father or super soul, he wants to fulfill the desires to the extent that how each person deserves. So it seems to me that it doesn't matter what type of government or a form of structure, everything geared towards money or fame.
What's your point?
The point is then how anything is going to change, because everyone's desire is to go in that way.
Well, I think you've answered your own question. Prabhupada, the platform of, the main platform of his teaching was not change structure of governments. His main teaching was what you just said. What's our real identity and spirit soul? We become satisfied in the platform of spirit soul. Just like Bhagavad Gita. That's okay. Before you decide what you should do, what you should not do, let's talk about who you are. So, developing a spiritual or transcendental conception of self is the beginning. You know? Sense control, and then you decide where you want to go. Now, from that point, Prabhupada is saying a monarchy is so much better. If you have a qualified monarch, then he would say the qualified monarch is not a totalitarian, an ego maniac person with in an unfettered way abuses their position of power. So again, he had his preference of structure, but that's not the main emphasis. The main emphasis is self-realization. Waking our dormant Krishna consciousness. Just like within ISKCON, it appears that he experimented with different models. There was a directives of management in the early 70s. They described the GBC. They described the GBC as elected. And he thought, these are Western people. They're addicted to electing people. So, but then he never went through with that. He personally appointed and personally supported that they appoint others. So it was a self-selection process, not a popular election process, not a democratic process. He selected, and they in turn expanded the numbers under his direction. and, you know, like removal of presidents. It was, you know, take a vote. And that changed. That I will remove, or the GBC can remove. But not by popular vote. Not by democratic method. So, the more that one goes to ideal, the more you have monarchy. But must be a qualified person in that position. Yes?
Guru Maharaj, this Krishna orchestrating the battle, the theme behind that is to note whereas the feature of Asambhuti, or this started just because of Kali.
Are you clear about your question? Because I'm not. You want to know what was the cause of the war? Is it this or is it that? Is it Krishna wanted it, or is it the influence of Kali, or what is it?
Yes.
What's the cause of the war?
Yes.
There are different ways you can look at it. It's not like this one's right and the other one's wrong. Ultimately, everything is under Krishna's sanction. And like Krishna, I want war. So, okay, you know. But he came to reestablish Dharma. And Duryodhan represented our Dharma. And it wasn't Kali Yuga yet either.
That's what happens.
You don't understand the solution is to do what?
You should train the right leaders.
The right leaders. Yes, not only leaders, but the followers. Because you could have a good leader and people don't know what a good leader is. They think, oh, one, like the other kind.
But it involves a lot of time and effort. So how would be, is there any solution for the...
Time and effort is the solution.
Is there any immediate
remedy? Not a shortcut? Immediate remedy? It doesn't happen that way. But there's the benediction of Mahaprabhu for the sage of Kali is that very quickly one can come to the stage where bondage due to one's previous action is relieved. But that statement is in contrast to the Vedic process where it takes lifetimes of proper execution of Dharma in order to become qualified. People aren't going to do that lifetimes. Forget it. Now! So, therefore, the dispensation is that even unqualified persons can take up the process of purification and quickly become qualified, quickly means in this lifetime. But what's important, even in the process of doing that, is changing the culture, changing the way in which people interact with one another. So you've learned in the process of your association with devotees, you've learned so many nice things. Now, where are those so many nice things being manifest 100% in your life? It's not 100%. It's some percent. It's not 100%. It takes time.
Which was your point.
It takes time. You want a shortcut. It takes time. To grow a garden. Put in a apple tree. Where are the apples? It takes years. And not just, okay, you know, come back in 5 years and there'll be nice apples. There's pruning. There's care. Prabhupada was so powerful that he established, you know, a society of devotees in almost overnight. But those society of devotees, while sincerely following, made some sincere intended blunders. They didn't know things weren't always the way that Prabhupada would do them if Prabhupada was there, dealing with one another in a way that purified Vaishnavas deal with one another. So, therefore, I'm using this word culture. It takes time to establish, to change culture. Even our own, when we're trying. Things that are really durable, it takes time. It took a long time to get to, you know, where we are now. So it takes some time to get to where we want to go. Consciousness-wise and behavior-wise. But the process is compared to the process of previous ages. It's very quick. And the reason it's very quick is special mercy. Made very easy. Because in this age of Kali, it wasn't made very easy. People wouldn't even come close to him. Too impatient. Disturbed. Passionate. Primitive. It's getting more and more so. Studies have been, you know, what kids are exposed to. The whole, I don't know about this so much, but, you know, they study it, the science of how many images on television and other things. They have to keep changing, keep changing, keep changing, because otherwise attention is lost. You lose the, you know, more faster. Just smithereened. There's nothing left.
So do you encourage disciples to compete for power or to take the roles in the government or to go to higher posts so that they can have more influence?
Prabhupada described, we're not interested in that. We're interested in advising those who are in that position. But not taking those. Now, there may be someone who has that quality and it may be good service for them. But it's not something that we, in general, we're interested in.
But for a person in that position to take the advice, like you were saying, you need to train the followers also. So, I mean, how would that come about?
Here's one example of something that Prabhupada did when he was present on this planet. There were two devotees. Their names were, or are, Amarendra and Balavanta. And they had been temple presidents for a long time. One in Gainesville, another in Atlanta. So, in Prabhupada's style, he said, they say, in God we trust, but they do not trust in God. So let us, he authorized these two. You run for mayor of Atlanta. This is the time when Atlanta was growing, it was the fastest growing city in America. run for mayor of the planet, not for the purpose of winning the election, but for the purpose of teaching people through the medium of running for office. And so they did. The In God We Trust Party. Republican Party, Democratic Party, Independent Party, In God We Trust Party. Giving In God We Trust solutions to the problems. So they had their platform. They spent hours and hours and days working on what's their platform of running for office. Their interest was not to become elected to the office. Their interest was to instruct. And they were very popular. They were very surprised. The percentage of vote that they won when the election took place was a large percentage. They were interested in getting percentage. But they were surprised how many people, what percentage of the people were influenced by their message. So how do you train the mass of people when they're that was one method. Once Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, your movement is growing so swiftly in this country. Would you accept the post of president if you were elected to the president? And Prabhupada just laughs and says, no, not interested. Then he paused and said, we can advise the president. Not interested. Now, in the world today, religions are becoming increasingly more and more and more, you know, a big issue in candidates is where they stand with their religious beliefs. It's like major. But what's all that? You know, it's conservatism and liberalism. That's all. I'm not so familiar with other places in the world, but you know what's going on in American politics. That's what's going on. I don't. Can't keep up with it. So. Crazy. So very quickly, in other words, very quickly, the principles get lost in the field of politics. So better just to stay with principles and train people in principle. And that alone is challenging. We should have in our own organization, such qualified leaders that they can lead groups of people and be very effective. That's something that we want.
Yeah.